In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
How beautifully St. John writes the Christmas story. There's no mention of an inn, or angels and shepherds, or even of Mary and Joseph, but only Jesus, only the Word, the life, the light. And so the Word of God is not a sound. The Word of God is not a human voice or human words. The Word of God is not even a book, for books are perishable. The Word of God is the eternal Son of God. Life is not a quality that a few things have, but true life is the eternal Son of God. Light is not a beam of photons, but true and lasting light is the eternal Son of God. His power is beyond compare. With a push of his finger, he spins the billions of galaxies. Apart from him, no creature, bird, animal, fish, even rock, atom, and energy, not even heaven and hell can exist. With his brilliant gaze, he keeps the suns burning brightly. His presence is seen in the billions of galaxies light years away, and yet his presence and power extend beyond the borders of this puny universe. The seraphim see him and hide their faces in holy awe. The demons see him and tremble with fear. Today you see him and you rejoice. As his power is beyond your understanding, so also his love is far beyond your understanding, that God would choose the weak things of this world to shame the wise. And so that powerful word of God did not become a mighty storm with whipping winds and surging seas, but the word became flesh. Life did not become a mighty eagle soaring high in the sky, but life was wrapped in human bones and blood and sinews and flesh. Light did not become a blazing fire or brilliant sun, but light took on human form and walked among us. He chose our weak flesh. But there is more. For had he come, born to Caesar Augustus, wrapped in silken blankets and served by thousands, many would have followed him. But instead, he's born to the poor and lowly virgin of Nazareth, wrapped in strips of linen and laid in a stable. He chose what man despises so that your salvation might rest on his grace and grace alone. He doesn't look like God Almighty. He doesn't look like a Savior. But he cannot be your God unless he comes in weakness. He cannot be your Savior unless he hides himself. Had he shown his brilliance, how could Mary have given birth to him? How could the shepherds kneel before him? We ourselves wonder why God hides himself. To us, it would be better if he would just simply reveal his power and glory, or had come in power and glory so that many would have believed in him. No one could deny he was God. True, but not all would love him. When King Herod heard that the Christ child was born in Bethlehem, he killed every child in Bethlehem 2 years and under. When the Pharisees heard Jesus say that he is the everlasting God, they picked up stones to kill him. Sinners hate God. So he hides. He hides so that way you can be saved by his grace. He doesn't want forced obedience. He wants loving submission. He doesn't want servants or slaves. He wants sons and daughters. He hides so that your salvation might rest solely on his grace. He chooses the weak things of this world so that you might be saved by his love and forgiveness and mercy and compassion, not his power and glory. And yet when you see his flesh, you see his power. When you see his human flesh in that weakened infant state, you see unparalleled glory. The God who spins those distant galaxies cannot save you, but the God who bleeds can. He doesn't simply want you to believe that he exists. He wants you to believe that he exists to save you. So he wears your weak flesh and blood to be your savior. He hides so that he can be rejected and killed. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. He was too weak, too ugly, too lowly. They wanted power and prestige, someone who would restore the kingdom of David back to its glory days. And had Christ simply wanted a large following, he certainly could have done that. But he came to save, not to gather a large following. So he comes in weakness and humility, and they rejected him. They silenced the word by nailing him to a cross, lifting up the light of the world for all to see, and that life lay motionless in a tomb. He was despised and rejected because he became like one of them to save them. And in this weakness, he also saves you. The Word pours out his blood to recreate you as his own. On that darkened Friday, as his body hung on the tree, you see the light of the world beseeching all nations to come and believe in him for salvation. He dies in weakness to shame those who want a powerful and glorious God who displays that power in a different way other than his cross. But you believe. And so you see his glory in his bloodied body. You see his greatest power in the forgiveness that he gives. You see his majesty in a font. For all who believe and are baptized are saved. They are children of God. You believe. You are baptized. You are saved. You are sons and daughters of God, born from water and the Word. And remember, that Word is not a bare human sound or even a book. You stick a book in that water and it gets ruined. But the Word is the eternal Son of God. Baptism saves you because through those waters, Jesus himself comes and saves you from all sin. All power and authority in heaven and on earth are his, and yet he still hides behind the weak things of this world, ordinary, plain, boring water, so that your salvation might rest solely on his grace. And there you received life. A lasting and eternal life. This is not some spiritual life that you will someday acquire when you get to heaven. This is a real and physical life. God no longer is simply a spiritual being, but he wears flesh and blood. So too must you live with your flesh and blood forever. Pain cannot stop you, for Christ has overcome all pain by his cross. Disease cannot halt you, for Christ has overcome that too by his cross. Not even death can claim you. For Christ has overcome death by his cross and has opened the kingdom of heaven to all who believe. He has been raised in glory and now sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. So too must you rise from your grave to live in glory with him. And your flesh will be perfect as he is perfect, glorious as he is glorious, immortal as he is immortal, forevermore. The Word became flesh so that you, with your flesh and blood, might live in glory. But all of that is now hidden from your eyes. You don't see any of it. You see weakness and humility, so that your salvation might still rest on his grace and mercy and love, not on his power and glory. So he continues to come to you in weakness so that you may live by faith in his forgiveness, his mercy, his grace. He will never keep that forgiveness from you. Look again. You see his body and blood present here for you. The powerful Word who keeps Pluto in its orbit and the seas in its place is present on this altar. The life of the world has come to give you life through eating and drinking. And his light beckons you from that altar to come and eat for the forgiveness of your sins. Is there really any greater miracle than this? Then here, what is present before you, is there a greater miracle than that, that your flesh and blood God would come to you this very day, and not only to you, but to all who celebrate his holy birth, so that you may someday be where he now is? God washes away your sins. God feeds your soul and your body. God makes you righteous. God keeps you holy. God watches over your life. God is with you always to the very end of the age. He will never leave you or forsake you or abandon you, not even for a second. But he will guide your feet through this life and on to heaven. Yes, God exists. Yes, he is extremely powerful. But believe that he exists to save you. Believe that he uses all of his power to get you into heaven. And that is why he still comes in weakness this day, so you might take and eat, take and drink, and receive your very God into your body. Today most certainly is a joyful day, and St. John describes it like none other. The Word became flesh. God became like you, so that you may be like him. A blessed Christmas to you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.